to most seems like it's far, far away. But the day that it arrives will be too late to do what we can do. We can do today.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, once again, we welcome you into today's silsila. We say marhaba. And the topic of discussion today is regarding illness to death. But before commencing the discussion, let us listen to a hadith pertaining to the blessings of sending durood and salawat upon our master, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is stated that our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the coolness of our hearts and minds, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has stated that the closest person to me on the day of Qiyamah will be the person who recited durood and salawat upon me in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, I am sure before the silsila commenced, there were some intentions that were displayed on the screen. And if there is more intentions that you would like to make, you can make the intentions. For the more good intentions that one makes, by the mercy of Allah, it is the more blessings and rewards that one obtains from the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, let us make some good intentions that inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, I will see it and watch your silsila from the beginning to the end, only and only for the pleasure of my Khaliq and Creator, the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Another good intention that we can also make is that I will watch this silsila from the beginning to the end, and whatever I learn, I shall convey its message to the others. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that, بَلِّغُوا أَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, that convey my message, even if it is only one verse. And another good intention that we can also make is that I make the good intention that whenever the name of the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal is being mentioned, I will reply by saying Azza wa Jal. And whenever the name of the Holy Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being mentioned, I will reply by saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, in the previous silsilas, we discussed and emphasized on the importance of keeping family ties. Why and why? Because a Muslim, in regardless of how a person oppresses you, regardless of how a person treats you, Islam teaches us that you should still be loving. You should still be caring. Why and why? Because we do not fight fire with fire, but rather fire you should fight with water. So when a person displays any bad character towards you, you should even give more love and shafqat, show more caring towards them. You know, subhanAllah, a Muslim never cuts ties. And even if you have a family member, because it's a reality, family members can never be perfect. You know, even in a home, you'll find that now and then there is disputes even between husband and wife. people that reside in the same environment, yes, there are possibilities, yes. Now and then, there will be misunderstandings, yes. Now and then, there will be arguments and disputes. But that should never be the reason for us to cut ties. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam puts it beautifully in the mafhum of the narration where Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated that sul man qata'aka, that join those who cut from you, meaning a person who cuts family ties. According to the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you should try your level best to join ties even with that person. And if you study the seerah of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you'll find that they emphasized, you know, Sayyidina Imam Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Huraira was one companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was from the companions who were referred to as Ashab al-Sufa, the companions who spend most of their lives gathering saints and by hearting ahadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, it is stated that he used to have sessions of hadith whereby people used to come to Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif on Thursdays. And every Thursday, Sayyidina Imam Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to impart and teach the knowledge of hadith. And it is stated that every Thursday, before Sayyidina Imam Abu Huraira would commence his sessions of hadith, he used to always make an announcement. And the announcement that he used to make is for each and every one of us to ponder upon, especially people that have cut ties with family members, especially people that are not in talking terms with their family members. This is for us to ponder upon. What was the announcement? What was the ilan? Sayyidina Imam Abu Huraira used to announce and say that if there is any person that is sitting in this gathering today that has cut family ties with family members, then please do not join my gathering. Please excuse yourself from the gathering. Allahu Akbar. And it is stated that once a young man joined this gathering of Sayyidina Imam Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and when this announcement was made, this young man who was not in talking terms with his auntie, he stands up and he quietly leaves the gathering. And when he goes to his auntie's house, he apologizes and the auntie forgives him. And then she inquires from him as to, but what has brought you to the house? What has changed your mind? What has made you come back to come and apologize? And the young man replies and says that, I want to go and see it in a session of hadith. And this session is such a session whereby the ustad and teacher is Sayyidina Imam Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he says that when I went for this session, Sayyidina Imam Abu Huraira made an announcement that those who have cut family ties should stand up and leave the gathering. And I remembered that I am not in talking terms with you. I remembered that I have cut ties with you. Therefore, that is why, that is what has brought me. And it is stated that the lady said to this young man that, go back to Imam Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu and ask Imam Abu Huraira that there are so many other sins, there are so many other gunas. Why is he only emphasizing on one guna, on one sin? When the young man goes into the court of Sayyidina Imam Abu Huraira, he narrates to him what has transpired. And he asks the question to Sayyidina Imam Abu Huraira as to, O Imam Abu Huraira, why are you only putting emphasis on one guna, on one sin, the sin of cutting ties? Sayyidina Imam Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, replies and says that, when a person cut ties, they are deprived from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I fear that because of such an individual, because of such a person who has cut family ties, because of him sitting in the gathering, perhaps maybe because of him, our gathering, our mahfil, our gathering will be deprived from the mercy and rahmah of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't this a narration? Isn't this story a story for each and every one of us to ponder upon? Especially people that have cut family ties. Especially people that are not in talking terms with their family members. As we mentioned in the previous silsilas, that Islam leaves a room of only 3 days. Within 3 days, if there is any argument, if there is any dispute, if there is any misunderstandings, within 3 days, you have to find solutions. Within 3 days, you have to try and solve the problem. You know, it is stated that Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, it is stated that there was a small issue between them and they stopped talking. And on the third day, it is stated that Sayyidina took hard the long story short. It is stated that Sayyidina Imam Hassan, who was the elder brother of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he decided to go to the house of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Why and why? Because Sayyidina Imam Hassan, being the elder brother, he was under the expectation that his younger brother would come and be the first to come and make mulaqat. And Sayyidina Imam Hussein was also under the same expectation that my elder brother will come and ask for forgiveness. And it is stated that Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he makes his way to the house of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu to go and try to make mulaqad, to try and ask for forgiveness, to try and bury the issue. So as he goes to the house of his younger brother, Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he greets him and they apologize, they make islah among themselves. And then the elder brother, Imam Hassan, he inquires from Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu that, oh Imam Hussein, I am your elder brother. You were supposed to be the one that came to come to apologize first. Why did you make me come to your house? Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu replies and says that, oh my elder brother, I studied ahadiths and narrations and I understand the rewards of being the first to go and make islah. I understand the rewards of being the first to go and make salam. Therefore, oh my brother, I wanted you to come so that you could earn that thawab. Subhanallah. Meaning even within their differences, even within their misunderstandings, they still thought about the akhirah of one another. And today, when we have any misunderstandings, today, when there are arguments, today, when there are disputes in families, the first option that we take is that I am going to cut ties with them. I will never talk to them. I shall never see eye to eye with them. And then family ties are cut. And for generations and generations, at times cousins end up not knowing their own cousins. At times brothers cut ties and years go by, whereby even their own children, brothers' children, end up not knowing each other. And in some cases you'll find that even when the elder brother is critically ill, when the elder brother is in a state whereby his ruh is about to come out, when he's in a state of sakarat, and when the younger brother is informed that your brother's condition is critical, your brother is critically ill, the other brother says, you know what? I don't care. I don't care. Let him die. I'm not worried. I don't care about what happens to him. Allahu Akbar. Even in such state, in such conditions, we don't care and we are not worried. These are realities. These are stories that are happening in Muslim communities. These are stories that are happening in our Islamic societies, in Muslim communities as well. My dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, if you are watching this episode, if you are watching this silsila today, and you have cut ties with any of your family members, Be the first to go and apologize. Be the first to go and ask for maaf. Solve the issue today. Because sometimes we leave issues unattended to. A person even passes away, and after they pass away, then we go and stand on their qabr and make lengthy and lengthy du'as. While they were alive, while they were present here with us, we ignored them, we neglected them. What if, while they were alive, you mentioned these good things about them? What if, while they were alive, you brought happiness into their lives by mentioning good things about them? What if, while they were alive, you lifted your hands in the court of Allah and made dua for them while they were alive? Yes, to go to the grave and make dua, there is so much of blessings and rewards in doing so. But why have relation with them after they pass away, while you could not be there for them while they were alive? You know, sometimes even you'll find in some of the families, a family member that is poor, he starves. Days go by at times in his house without food. But when they pass away, we want to cook 50 dags of food and distribute on their name. Yes, there is reward. But the same person, when they were alive, you ignored them. You let them starve in hunger. So dear listeners and viewers of Adhani Channel, these are some things that we need to change in our lives. So we need to change our concept. We need to change our mentality. And it's time that we should be able to comprehend shortcomings of others. And it's time we should be able to tolerate weaknesses of others. We should be able to overcome and overlook other people's weaknesses. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today's topic of discussion is pertaining to illness and when a person is ill. And the reason why I brought in the discussion of the importance of family ties is that at times, in some of the families, as I've mentioned, you'll find that even when a person is critically ill, even under such situations as well, you'll find that people opt to cut in ties. People opt to not even going to go and visit a sick person. But those that, alhamdulillah, do practice upon this great sunnah of going out to go and visit sick people, you'll find that at times they become a burden upon the sick person. Yes, it is a good deed to go out and visit the sick. It is a dream, it is an act and practice that the rewards of it are in abundance. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the mafhum of a narration, it is stated that when a person goes out to go and visit a sick person, then it is stated that Allah Azza wa Jal will grant a shadow through 75,000 angels on the one who inquires after a sick person. And one virtue will be written for each step that he takes. And for placing each foot, one sin will be removed from him. Subhanallah. Meaning that every step that you take, when he lifts his feet up, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write a good deed for him. When he places his foot onto the ground, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins for him. Subhanallah. Only and only for going out to go and visit the sick people. So there is so much of blessings. There is so much of rewards for going out to go and inquire about a sick person. That is why Islam has set manners. Islam has set ways of how to do these good deeds. Because sometimes you'll find that the people that, subhanallah, take their time out to go out and visit the sick people, alhamdulillah, they have good intentions, and their intention is to earn thawab and rewards. Their intention is to keep family ties. But yet you'll find that when they go and visit the sick, they become a burden for the sick person. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that the best way of visiting a sick person, afdalul i'ada sur'atul qiyam, that the best way of going out to visit a sick person is that you should spend very little time. Go in and go out. Do not spend too much time with a sick person. Why and why? Because by spending too much time, you can become a burden upon them. By spending too much time, you'll find that we start asking unnecessary questions. And at times, the sick person has to even speak lies based on the questions that we ask. You know, we ask questions such as, how are you feeling now? My brother, if the person was feeling well, why would he be sitting in a hospital? Who would want to sit in a hospital in a feeling well? So we start asking these unnecessary questions, whereby the sick person at times has to speak lies. Why and why? Because based on the questions that we ask, if you ask a person, are you feeling well? Then you'll find that in reply, in response to the answer that day, the person will reply and say that, I am well. My health is first class. And this type of answers that a person gives, while in reality, these are all lies. So you are doing a good deed, of a good act of going out to go and visit. But the process and manners that you, the acts and manners, the things that you are doing there, end up making the person that is ill to commit gunas and sins, whereby he has to speak lies, whereby he ends up lying. And then in that final moment of his life, you are making him speak lies. And we know that the punishment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, it is stated in the hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there are three signs of a munafiq. And among the signs of nifaq, among the signs of a munafiq, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that when a munafiq speaks, he speaks lies. So lying is also a sign of nifaq. So even although a person is critically ill, even in that condition, in that state, you are putting them under pressure for them to end up speaking lies. And there are so many hadiths where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken about the punishment of speaking even a single lie. So dear listeners and dear Subhatan Eternal, that is why Islam has set ways and manners of how to visit a sick person. And there are sunan and methods and ways of visiting a sick person. So that, because al-Islam, you know, the deen of Islam, Islam means at-taslim. Islam means to submit yourself to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam is a way of life. So alhamdulillah, this beautiful deen of Islam has left no stone untouched. Even when it comes to the methods and manners of visiting a sick person, Islam has said ways. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that afdalul i'ada sur'atul qiyam, that the best way of visiting a sick person, it is that you must quickly stand up and leave that place so that you do not become a burden. Why and why? Because sometimes a sick person might not be able to tell you that your presence is becoming of inconvenience. They might not be able to say it to you, but at times you'll find that they will give you isharas, as they say that, you know, ishara is sufficient for an intelligent person. But not all of us are intelligent. So some people you'll find that ishara is made to them that it is time for you to leave, but they do not read the signs. And also sometimes you'll find that when people visit a sick person, you know, they start giving medical prescriptions to him. We start telling them that, you know what, don't use that medication, use this medication, or leave this doctor and go to that doctor. And at times we ourselves, we the people that are giving these prescriptions to them, we have no knowledge about what we are saying. At times we are just making the statements for the sake of only having a conversation. So the deen of Islam subhanAllah has set for us standards. Islam has set for us ways, and there are sunan and methods of how to visit a sick person. And inshallah azza wa jal, in the coming silsila, we shall discuss the methods and ways of how to conduct yourself when you are in the presence of a sick person. Why and why? Because when you visit a sick person, among the first things that one should engage in is that you should make dua for the sick person. Among the things that you should make for a sick person is that when it is stated that our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he used to visit a sick person, he would give them hope. He would make dua for them and give them hope. So when we visit a sick person, we should also give them hope. So inshaAllah azza wa jal, in the next silsilas, we are going to discuss what to say, how to conduct yourself when you are in the presence of a sick person. And remember, dear listeners and viewers of Madani Channel, all of these basic teachings of the deen, all of these basic sunan of our religion, these are things that each and every one of us should put an effort into learning. That is why, alhamdulillah, in the beautiful mahal and environment of Dawat Islami, you'll find that these basic sunnahs are taught. Therefore, keep connected to the mahal of Dawat Islami. If you are not yet connected to this mahal, come closer to this beautiful environment of Dawat Islami. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
To most seems like it's far, far away, but the day that it arrives will be too late to do what we can do. We can do today.